acres over the road. Made me the train to carry the heavy load. Made me the electrolyte to take us out of the dark. Made me the boat for the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man's, man's, man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, not a woman or a girl.
Well, good evening and welcome to Off Planet Radio Live. I'm Randy Moggins.
And a baby boys.
Is it a man's world out there anymore? That's kind of the question we've been kicking around in a series of shows I've been doing with my two guests tonight. We called it the Man Show Project, and kind of stemmed out of what was a double billing on Vinny's show a couple of months ago, and I wound up on the air with two of probably the best guys on independent radio right now. And somehow or another, we decided to do three shows, each of us on our own programs, to bring out issues about men specifically, but all of it ties together in some very interesting ways. And so that James Brown song from the 60s is kind of an anachronism now. And the world's a very different place for men and women. And that's kind of what we're kicking around. By way of announcing this right up front, this is the final Wednesday night show that we are going to be doing on the stream. We're going to move over to Friday nights on October 4th. Chris Holly will be back with me, and we're going to begin to do Friday night shows from 10 p.m. Eastern Time till midnight. And we may go the extra hour and go three-hour show if we get the support, the interest, and people that are interested in hanging out into the nighttime. And with all of that said, I really need to bring up my guests and kind of kick this off, because this is the third show that we've done on the subject. And I know they're loaded for bear tonight. And my guest from Canada First, he is a talk show host on American Freedom Radio. And he'll tell you more about his show. Welcome, David Whitehead.
Hey, Randy. How's it going, man? Pleasure to be here.
Good to be here. Good to have you on tonight, David. And tell people about your show, your website, and where you can be found.
Yeah, there's actually been a change in my schedule. I've recently been on the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
Okay.
And so I'm on their same time slot as before, though. I'm on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Central, and of course that's 10 p.m. Eastern Time. My website is theworldwasmeantobefree.com, and my YouTube channel is Sensitive82, so they can pretty much find all they need to about what I do on those sites.
Great. And somebody who almost doesn't need an introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. He is the king of guerrilla media in New Zealand. He is the master of the bullhorn and the head-mounted camera. He has been an activist, an outspoken talk show host, and somebody that's really been a forward-running leader in the alternative media and in activism. Vinny Eastwood, welcome to Off Planet Radio.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. And, I guess it is actually still kind of a man's world. The problem is men don't seem to be controlling a lot of it these days. Let me qualify that. I was watching this movie last night called Kroll. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's from 1983. And it was the marriage ceremony between a son of a king and the daughter of a king. And he's a fighter, right? And the son of the king is marrying this woman. And the father of the bride says that fighters don't make a good husband. And the woman relays this to this fighter. And he says, well, that depends. Do you want your husband at your beck and call? do you want your husband to jump when you say so? If you don't, then sure, a fighter is not a good husband. However, she didn't want that in a husband. She didn't want submission. She wanted a man, and that's precisely what she got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was quite a profound lesson.
Yeah, it's really a different perspective from that standpoint. You know, I'll bring this up into politics. I'm watching this charade right now that's going on with Barack Obama going up to the UN, and all of a sudden, this guy has tiptoed through the tulips for 5 years. He's been probably one of the most passive presidents we've ever had, and now all of a sudden this guy decides to grow a set after 5 years so that he can go into Syria. This is another problem we have. We don't have strong male leaders anymore. We have a bunch of effeminate bureaucrats. And David, I really want you to kind of do a lead off as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been following that whole thing too, and we definitely need some, you know, leaders with some balls or whatever for some, you know, but at the same time, people got to really empower themselves and realize that for so long we've been giving our power away, both men and women equally, to these different establishments and these corrupt politicians and bureaucrats and the whole, you know, system itself. And so there's been, I think, an agenda, and if you can track it throughout history, to feminize men, to, you know, masculinize women, and to keep us in a state of imbalancement, and basically where we're not aligned with our true intuition and our you know, our natural leanings or any of our instincts. And so when you're watching what's going on, I personally view what's going on the political stage as just that, as a stage. And basically what we're seeing is just some posturing on behalf of the U.S. because they have to right now. They've got to really sell this card if they want to try to get this off the ground. And so as much as I'd like to say that it'd be good to have some leaders that have some, are confident, we got to be careful where those leaders are going to be taking us. And the only way we can really do that is if we stop putting our hope and our faith and all of our rights and freedoms into the hands of these people and really start taking it back for ourselves. And that's just the way I see it.
Vinny, back to you.
Well, I don't see it as being a problem that's of our own making. That's the thing, you know. You've got to take responsibility for yourself, but you've also got to admit the things that were outside of your control, outside of your influence. And the whole feminist movement, it's come out was, and we've mentioned this because this is Man Talk Project 3, episode right. 3, more or less. I hope it's a hell of a lot better than Iron Man 3, but
we'd hope for so much more there.
Yeah, and one of the points that I've raised. To hear it, the feminist movement was indeed funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and the feminist magazines and so on and so forth were financed by the CIA. So, think about that. You've got one of the most corrupt murder incorporated organizations known to man, the CIA, and one of the most dangerous eugenicist promotion organizations known to man, the Rockefeller Foundation, funding women's liberation. And you think that it's actually doing it to liberate women? You do realize that these people are satanic scum, right? And that almost everything that they do is the direct opposite of what they say it is.
Right. And the whole thing was
women's liberation.
Yeah, this is all social engineering.
Can I please finish? Ergo, women's liberation is actually about women's enslavement. Okay, here's how you know that it's women's enslavement. How many women got taxed before women's liberation? None. How many women got taxed after women's liberation? All of them. Okay? It's as simple as that. Once you're being taxed, you're a slave, a debt slave of some kind, and you're fracked. And that was part of the agenda. The other part of the agenda is, how much divorce was there before women's liberation? How many, illegitimate children and so on and so forth was there before women's liberation? Very little. What about now? It's actually the majority. So Simultaneously, you get to enslave an extra 50% of the population, and you get to break down the family unit, the nuclear family, which was once the source of strength of everybody. I mean, this is what happened before welfare. If you lost your job, you'd go and stay with your family, wouldn't you? Strong family unit, you know, you got brothers, you got sisters, you got a father, you got a mother, and you got everybody looking out for each other. Now, what you got is nothing. And the only thing you've got left to be dependent on is the state, which the Rockefellers in part control.
Yeah, again, this is a very long-term social engineering project. Hello? Can you hear me, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we've got
I'm here, Randy. I think there's just a little bit of a connection interruption there.
Yeah, there's a lot of latency on the Skype, so hopefully we'll just... Sorry, because I know I was stepping over Vinny at one point.
Is that better?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're spanning, you know, from United States to New Zealand, and David's up in Canada, so the Skype appears to be spotty tonight.
No, that was probably just me. I had a editing program open on the web. I've just closed it now. Is that a bit better?
Seems to be, yeah. It's more real time now. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. That was actually
no
my
problem.
Bad.
Like I said, this is a loose show, and I want it to be comfortable. So, you know, the way I've looked at this for a long time, it was the social engineering that was actually engineered out of Tavistock. And it was part of the long-range program. And I think we talked about this in previous shows as well, the, you know, what occurred in the 1960s when they kicked in, you know, full-tilt social engineering, all the things that went on here in the United States. For good or for bad, however you view these things, you had the rise of birth control. You had the Supreme Court decision, which ultimately legalized abortion, which, again, I'm not taking a stand on that in this particular episode, but I will say that it was all part of landmarks that kind of ticked on. And you're right. I mean, women in the workplace, women going to work, doubled the government's tax revenues, and it cut in half the American family, which then spawned this whole generation of children who basically grew up in front of TV sets or in daycare centers. Another atrocity itself, the whole daycare center thing, because look what's happened with those in terms of massive child abuse and cult child running and things like that. I mean, we just opened up a house of horrors.
Yeah, I remember I used to look after autistic boys, and you get very little training, virtually zero oversight, and that was something that scared me about that job, is that, oh my God, how many other people are there that are looking after these very vulnerable kids who could possibly take advantage of the situation and with no oversight, and your victims can't speak or communicate accurately? It's just a breeding ground for scumbaggery. And I think this is what the whole system has really turned into. I mean, let's think about like the difference economic depression during the depression versus nowadays. Back then, there were strong family units. Back then, people knew how to repair their own clothes. Back then, people grew their own food. Still, 10 million people starved to death in the United States. You imagine you have a massive depression now. How many of those do the modern people have? Maybe about 5%, 10% of people walking the earth today can grow their own food. 90% of them live in cities and don't. Just imagine how much power and independence has been taken away from us very, very slowly. How little skill we have left that actually gives us some form of facilitated independence. It's almost all gone. It's not by accident. It's to make everybody completely dependent. I mean, now, I forget who told me this. Over 50% of Americans are receiving some kind of government benefit.
Yeah. They've expanded it so much now. And really, you know, the depression's here, but it's not talked about. I've called it for a long time now, soft hit. Since 2008, we've just watched it gradually float until it hit the economic area that you could no longer define this as a recession. You would say this is a prolonged depression, but what it's hitting is it's hitting the lower middle class and the middle class itself here. You know, the upper class is doing great. The bureaucrats, the government.
It's a feeding frenzy, a lovely scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we weren't playing Monopoly before, you know, right from the founding of this financial fraud that was pulled over everybody's eyes, and this goes back, you know, right from the founding of the Federal Reserve, et cetera, you know, this is all basic for people, but, you know, look at it now. Look at basically the fact that we're definitely playing Monopoly now. I agree with you, it did collapse. They're just finding a new way to keep stimulating it and keep building up this myth that the system has to keep running. And I think that's what they wanted, so that it would be an easier situation for them to milk the system, to, you know, basically turn everything into bring everything into the big multinational corporations. You're shutting down more and more of the smaller businesses. This is what happened back during the Great Depression. And to sort of add to the point about how we've been controlled as a society and how that's worked, the tactic has changed. And when you talk to experts about this, they'll tell you the same thing, that when you look back in history, you know, monarchs and rulers ruled by force, and they had massive, you know, forced slavery. It was all out in the open. There wasn't, they didn't have the need for that amount of clandestine activity as they do today. Whereas now, it seems more the program of a psychological type of control. And this flows very well into what we've been discussing over these last three shows with this whole war against women, war against men. And there's very specific ways that they seem to work on that. And it's very much psychological. And a lot of it comes from the media. It comes from all of these institutions. And it's just this mindset that's there, where now you look at people, and Vinny was bringing up how, you know, people today would not be able to survive something like the Great Depression that happened prior, because of how reliant we are on this modern technology and all these systems. Most people just know how to navigate through their iPhone and their iPad, and they have no idea how to plant seeds in the ground and you know, to grow food and sustain themselves if the power grid ever shut down. So they've absolutely been castrating our ability, really, kind of self-reliance or to have any kind of real survival mechanism. And I just see it as they went from a period of having a physical control, physical chains, to now it's more of a sort of a psychology. It's a psychic control, ultimately.
Which is, in general, a lot more effective because it requires much less manpower.
Exactly.
The pharaohs figured this out long ago, that if you wanted to intimidate people, you really ultimately want them to just sort of ostracize each other who speaks out, kind of thing, you know. That guy's talking about freedom and independence and so on and so forth. Just shut up, go back to being a slave. And incidentally, that's kind of what's happening. I'll go to a protest and I'll be talking about how the criminals run the country, okay? Like basically, that's what people have got to the criminals own the legal system. They own the justice system. They create all the laws. These aren't law-abiding citizens who are doing this. They're frickin' criminals. They're dangerous criminals who follow no law, no ethics, no morality, okay? And the guy comes up to me and he says, "Why don't you go get a job?" And I go, "Why?" And I go, "Why? So I could be a slave like you? So I can so I can get up out of my slave bed and my slave block and put on my slave tie and my slave jacket and go in and jump in my slave car, get in the slave traffic and go to my slave job so that I can obey my slave master, so that I can get my slave pay and then get back into the slave traffic and come home to my slave wife and my slave kids and plug into the slave television? Frack that!"
Yeah, Vinny, break down the tie. You had a really good post the other day about the origin of the tie.
The origin of the tie. Well, it's a Freemason thing. When they're indoctrinating you into Freemasonry, the first thing, it's called a cable tow in Freemasonry. Tow, like T-O-W, like they're towing you around. And the symbolic gesture of wearing a tie around your neck is akin to having a umbilical cord. It's meant to guide you through the darkness of the womb into the light of the world, and it's got a knot around it, so it doubles as a noose. So when you're being inducted into the Masonic order, they have this cable tow around your neck, lead you around, and that's basically where the tie comes from. So it symbolizes the dominance of somebody over you to guide your life while you're blindfolded. Okay, that's what a tie means. I'm wearing a tie, therefore I'm blindfolded and being led around by somebody else, because at the end of the day, I'm still an infant poking around in the darkness of the womb.
And that's such a good analogy when we were talking about how they've sort of switched strategies in the modern era, where back in the day, that tie probably would have been a real shackle to some, you know, gang of slaves, whereas today it's symbolic and it's psychological, but a lot of people don't even realize it.
Well, people don't realize as well that when you're wearing a tie, you have to wear a collared shirt. And when you're wearing a collared shirt, it's usually got cufflinks, right? So you're walking around with cuffs around your wrist, a collar around your neck, and a leash. And you think that you're free.
Exactly.
The greatest bondage right now, the way I see it from my perspective, and I see upper middle class business Americans every day, is their debt. These are people who are in huge amounts of debts, big cars, big houses, kids in expensive colleges, and they are completely bought into the corporate system because that's where their money is right now. And it's the same thing with big government. I live in a government town, so I see a lot of people who are government people. And it's the same class of people, and they're really a separate class of people now. Corporate America, I will call them corporate government America. And I'm sure that's the same around the globe. Maybe you guys can kind of inform that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm here in Canada, and I'm seeing the scales tipping big time here, and what I see is the fact that when you look at how advertising works, it's creating this mindset that there's nothing wrong, everything okay, just keep going to work, working your slave job, consuming, you know, this is what you need to purchase, and this is the clothes you need to wear, this is the attitude you have to have in order to be accepted, in order to be cool, or whatever it is, and that's totally created. That's totally Madison Avenue created, and yet people are going out there. These men are getting up every day, putting their tie and their cufflinks on, and they're going to work, trying to bring home the money so that they can sustain the illusion of having all of these things. And the only way to have these cars and these houses, and you know, a lot of the wives, you know, the women, they're out there putting pressure that, you know, you've got to provide, you got to be the man, go out there and provide. But it's there's not enough money to going around anymore. The economy is completely demolished, and more people are going homeless all the time. I see it even here. Less jobs, they're not coming back. Everything's being automated. And basically, these men are just having to go and take out debt and take out loans and put this credit on their credit cards in order to sustain this illusion of a lifestyle, which means they get to feel like they're out there providing and that they own that car and that they provided that for their family. But at the same time, really, the reality is no, the bank owns it and they own your ass, and so does your employer. So it's about funneling the energy that would be there for men to go out and provide, and funneling that into not providing for your family, but providing for this system, providing for these banks, providing for these corporations, and ultimately providing another cell block for your own enslavement. That's just the way I see it.
Man provide, own enslavement.
Exactly.
Well, that
but they feel empowered when they do it, but it's just an illusion, you know?
Speaking of when was the last time you actually lit a fire? Right, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, and I was like, man, make fire.
Well, people call the cops on you, though.
And it's just people that do. It actually just feels awesome.
It's primal.
Like just
it's
lighting
very
a fire.
Primal. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We just had a fire out on our deck the other night because it's getting cooler here. We had one over the weekend in a rainstorm just to warm things up. But what you just touched on there is something very primal. Our sustenance no longer comes from the elements the way we knew them. It doesn't
That's
come
right.
from the ground and the sky and the earth, the elements in nature. It comes from the elements that have now been filtered through this technocratic system that we have. Our money is artificial, our sustenance, our food, our entire ecosystem that we live in has been completely engineered around us in a way that we didn't have even in my early childhood days. I mean, I don't remember the cocooning the way it is now.
Yeah, and I think what we've shielded ourselves from the elements. You know, we enclose ourselves in these walls, we've got the heaters going on and so on and so forth. So we've replaced a lifestyle meant to be living in perpetual balance with the elements, and we've traded it for an element of scumbaggery, an element of indecency, and an element of enslavement, isn't it? And we've done it to ourselves. The thing is, the path has been put before us. It's been put before all of us. And the only reason why any of us have even strolled down this path is because we were told that it's the correct path, right? It's like that scene in The Labyrinth, where she comes across these two doors, and they're guarded by these two guardsmen. And one of the guardsmen always tells the truth, and one of the guardsmen always lies. How do you find out which door to go through? And the answer is, you've actually got to ask a question. What would he tell me is the correct door to go through? Okay, so if I were to go up to, let's say, a school teacher who knows nothing about the system, is totally just living within it, it'll then Philip, okay, who's well connected, has founded the Trilateral Commission and so on and so forth. What door should I go through? And let's say Rockefeller was actually telling me the truth. He'd say, don't go through the door that everybody tells you to. Honestly. Because the easiest path that we've all been had ahead of us is the one that's been told to us over and over again. You've got, like I said earlier, get a job. Getting a job is what makes you productive. Actually, no. Creating wealth is what fuels you. Putting your creative ideas and making something tangible out of them, bringing into existence that which does not yet exist, doing that which other people have not thought of yet, creating things that have yet to be created. That is, in fact, the real through life path on any kind of sustenance to the human soul. And unfortunately, there is very few people telling you that. Reason why is because so few people know about this path. Because anybody who knows it gains power through that recognition of that system, because it is the direct opposite of everything that you get taught from daycare through high school through college and so on and so forth throughout your jobs and everything, is that you don't have any power. You're not in charge. You don't get to ask that question. Mark Twain once said, if you ever wanted to find out what's running society, just find out what it is you're not allowed to question. And there's your answer.
Well, exactly. And then also, when you go back and look at any of the great teachers and people that actually were resisting the mainstream system at their time, and going out there and trying to educate people about what you're talking about, Vinny, about having that individual critical thinking ability to actually just ask those big questions for you.
Well, David,
whether it's religious, whether it's political, whether it's some group or whatever.
The power,
right?
Of this. Yeah, yeah. And the controlling group recognizes that anybody who has that kind of independence, that creativity, becomes a threat to them. So naturally, they buy out the governments, they buy out the public school systems, they influence them in many, many different ways in order to teach people the direct opposite of the truth. Because if you knew the truth, they wouldn't be able to wield its power over you.
Well, that's right. And then just when you look at the people that were doing that throughout history, you'll see how they were treated. You'll see that most of them were imprisoned, tortured, killed, you know, and from Mikhail Bakunin to Gandhi to, you know, anybody that was trying to start some kind of revolution of some kind, you know, you'll just look at how they're treated. And now we have more people because of the internet. We have more and more people out there that are trying to teach and communicate this knowledge. I mean, all three of us here, we host radio shows, and we do a valuable service, because we're actually providing a platform for some of these great people to come on and share the knowledge that they have, and then let the listener decide at the end of the day. There, this kind of format wasn't available in the past. So even though we are in this situation now, I'm very optimistic in the sense that we have access to these forms of communication. There are great teachers out there today. There are more than we've ever seen before, and we are starting to unite more. And I think that we just got to get a little bit more street smart about it. But overall, it's a good sign to see that there's so many radio shows, there's so many Facebook pages, YouTube channels, alternative newspapers, all kinds of groups, you know, protest groups and everything. And there's more of a movement of that now than ever. And, you know, so I'm ultimately optimistic about it. But I just look back at history, and you know for a fact that there is a system in place. I think somebody... It was Neil Kramer or someone who said it like this. He just said, there's always been an empire. It's the same empire. It just changes its robes throughout history. You know, so we know that this is there. It's just now's the time for especially these younger generations that are coming in, and they're being indoctrinated into this whole try to build the future. And they're going to have to carry this forward for us.
I guess one of my concerns in doing this, and I've been on radio for over 10 years continuously, and on the internet continuously for 7 in different venues, but I wonder, we have all this information, we have all these enabling networks together now, and all of this is great. Are we empowering people, or are we giving them simply a steam valve? In other words, doing what we do, do you as talk show hosts see a mobilization for people to act in ways that are changing their lifestyle, changing their patterns?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because today I interviewed a woman named Kerry Campbell, who withdrew $15 million from a local Taranaki bank here. And that kind of jazz. And she successfully did it, and it's created huge fanfare around here in New Zealand, and then set up a number of different avenues to take your power back and indeed frack up the court system for all they're worth. And she got kidnapped by the cops. They tried to break her arm, tried to break her wrist, tried to break her fingers, tried to completely destroy her. And they didn't. And guess where she learned this information first off, and started going about doing her own research and empowering herself in order to actually take on the very system and take the bull by the horns? It was my show.
Yeah.
So yes, I do believe I'm empowering people. The thing is, everybody plays their own role.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like on the battlefield. Okay, you've got your specialist spec ops kind of people. You've got your frontline grunts. You've got your cooks. You've got your transport drivers, and so on and so forth. Everybody plays their own little role, and if anybody fails in their own little role, people die. Being a radio show, being part of the propaganda network of the war against the New World Order, is an important and invaluable role. For without our particular branch of propaganda, just remember, propaganda isn't necessarily a lie. There's different types of it. What they call white propaganda, which is telling the truth, and black propaganda, which is telling lies. And both methodologies are to convince people of a particular ideal or a particular thought or whatever in order to get them to do what you want. I propagandize my audience to let them know that they don't need propaganda anymore. They don't need me. All they need is their own self, their own power, and their own ability to listen and discern, and their own willingness to actually go out and really affect change, knowing for a fact that ain't nobody going to help you. Nobody's going to do it for you. You are alone in all of this. Guess what? That's enough. You have no idea just how powerful you are until you go out and start doing something, thinking that you don't need any help. Sometimes you fall on your ass and you go, well, I did need a little bit of help.
Yeah. David, do you have any thoughts on that?
then you get emboldened.
Oh yeah, no, I think Vinny was just finishing up a point, but
yeah, just to point out for the listeners too, we're having Skype difficulties specifically with Vinny's line, and when we take the break, we'll reconnect and try and clean that up. We got a little bit, well, we got over 20 minutes left, so hopefully we can manage that. But what Vinny was just talking about, he's seeing people that are now taking on the system in ways, and that's pretty big. I mean, the story he just told was huge. But it, even at the level of where people are just beginning to realize that this is a war and that in order to win it, we're going to have to be stronger, smarter, and be able to move a little better than we have in the past.
Yeah, Randy, I think the way I see it is that there's no way that the average person in their current state can actually take on the system effectively until the first themselves. In order, they have to empower themselves with information. Some of that information is going to be enlightening, and mm-hmm. some of that information is going to be quite scary, and it's going to seem to be negative on the surface, but it all serves its purpose. And what we're really trying to get people to understand by doing what we do, and I'm speaking for myself, but I know that you guys do a great job of this as well, is just to point to the truth, point to it. We're not trying to say we have it, we own it, we know everything. We're just trying to have a way of bringing people's attention to stuff they would have never looked at before. And when you start going on that kind of a road and that journey, it's a tough one. I know for myself, it's been like a roller coaster ride. And some things you're going to read and you're going to research, you're going to find out, and you're going to have that eureka moment, and it's going to be like, wow, that's incredible. You know, the size of the universe is infinite, and we are linked to all of that or whatever. And then some of the revelations are going to be like, holy crap, we are in a total controlled police state. And so it's a mixed bag. And I think that it's important to show people both sides of the coin, but we are in a war, and we don't have as much time to sit there and prance through the fields and try to go through this in a really soft kind of, okay, reassuring way. We've got to give people the facts now, because as this situation unfolds, if people even heard one thing that we've been saying, and went and did at least 5 to 10 minutes of research a day on some of these topics, then they're going to start to see through the lie. And if they can see through the lie, and at the same time they can learn to empower themselves and find that courage and that primal instinct again, men can find their real manhood, women can really discover what it is to be a true empowered woman, then at that level, then we are affecting change. And I can echo what Vinny has said. I get feedback all the time from people that are listening to the show or the other work I'm doing, or even following a lot of the people that I feature on the show, and just telling me how much it's impacted them and how much it's changed. And then I see them go start radio shows and start going on YouTube and blogging and just expressing their opinion. And so I start to see that for me personally, I've just seen nothing but good things from when I just decided to get on there and express my opinion. So I just keep encouraging people to do the same.
Yeah. It's sort of like you're looking at a pond and it's very still. We're the ones who are chucking rocks into the dream pool and making the ripples that affect everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a ripple. Like, you can't, we know for a fact you can't do it yourself. But when you first learn this, you're like, I want to go out there and get this fixed, like ASAP. I want to do whatever I can. But only when there's a collective action of empowered individuals, and there's a big difference there. So like, when you think of collectivism as actually the model that the New World Order is trying to work with, they want collectivism. They want people in groups where they can have a leader, and then all the other that leader and can direct our movement. So what we need is collective action on behalf of humanity, but that has to be action done by empowered individuals. You know, I use this example even when I think of my relationships. You're not going to have a strong relationship if you have one person being the one that's rowing the boat, you know, because that boat's just going to keep going in circles. You need both people in that relationship to be empowered and both, you know, working through their issues together and coming to equal ground. And if you're going to start expanding and adding more people to that dynamic, the bigger that group becomes, the easier it ultimately can be to have infiltrators and to have someone try to lead that group away. So I think that by trying to speak to the individual, we can empower people on that level, get them to find out who they are again and ask those questions, then when we do get to that point where there is going to be a proper collective action, I think we'll get it right this time, you know, because in history, these things have constantly been taken over. So I hope that this is the age where we finally get it.
And that really goes to the heart of a lot of what I think we've done in these three shows that we've done together. This is not a man versus woman, male versus female issue. It is about rebalancing the equation and making each one stronger in their particular areas. There are differences between us that are actually our strengths. Women need the physical strength of men, the particular abilities that men have that are peculiar to them. Men need intuition, balance, the softer side, the heart that a well-balanced female will bring to it. So we're not talking about schismatics here. We're talking about realigning the entire dynamic of masculine and feminine.
It's called symmetry. You know, I mean, it's like, let's say you've got two hands, okay, and let's say you're holding a pistol with one of those hands. How accurate is your aim going to be? How much strength do you have to resist the recoil when a projectile is fired? Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you're holding that same pistol with two hands, much more strength. Much more accuracy. That's the male and the female coming together to operate something such as a weapon. Okay? And I don't think that people recognize that very simple kind of paradigm, is that when you're living in a symbiotic relationship, you have to play your part in that relationship. Otherwise, it matters not the symmetry, you're going to fall apart. And I believe that this is part of the reason why we have an over 50% divorce rate in America and other Western countries around the world, whereas in Arabia, for example, divorce is virtually unheard of. They have the highest level of education for women in the world, in the Middle East, and that kind of thing, child abuse, rape, things of this nature. They get demonized in the media all the time. Oh my God, all this is going on and towards women. It does happen, but it actually happens a lot less in those societies than the ones that we call civilized. Don't you find that interesting? It's because the thing that actually bound families together, as far as my research has included, was actually a lot of religious connotations. The founding fathers were often very religious people, and of course they were all Freemasons, but the family units within the United States at the time were kept together, and the country itself had a perceptible moral high ground because those families would be together every single night reading the Bible. And something tells me that the massive outpouring of... have you noticed how much frickin' Satanism and nihilism and atheism and the rise of this lack of belief, a lack of faith, a lack of morality, moral, what's it called, flexible morality, where really there isn't any such, there's supposed to be morals and immorals. That's as far as the dichotomy works for me. There's no real such thing as flexible morals. There are things that are acceptable in society and things that are not. And these people who believe that paradigm doesn't really exist often promote the things that are immoral. Have you noticed that? This is what's happening. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be hardcore religious in order to be a good family man. If anything, religion and spirituality have become mutually exclusive. Mm. I don't think that they have a whole lot of relevance anymore in many ways in the modern society. However, there is that very core value, that set of Ten Commandments, which seem like perfectly reasonable rules. And people believe that because there's some BS in there, because there's some hokey rituals and things of that nature which they don't like, that therefore the whole thing is bunk. And I believe that this is part of a satanic agenda in order to get people away from faith, get people away from God, get away from morals, so that they can raise children in a society where belief is looked down upon as insanity, where morality is looked down upon as weakness, and strength is looked down upon as just being freaking out of your mind.
Well, and you raise incredibly good points with this, and we do have to make the distinctions now between religion and spirituality. And I think, you know, some of what I've heard David talk about, he's kind of, in his work, helped to sort of redefine some new spiritual paradigms. But the religious aspects of it, not so much as just the idea that we are spiritually bound to each other. You brought up something about right and wrong, morality, but our laws, our legal system now is completely inverted. On the one hand, we're ruled over by a criminal armed gang, I mean armed to the teeth to take out entire countries, who can murder, slaughter, rape, pillage, and loot on the turn of a click. And on the other hand, you have around the world political prisoners, people who are accused of victimless crimes. In the United States, we have an astronomical population of black males in prison, largely because of their social conditions and the fact that they were, for the most part, set up in things where they were doing crimes that had no victim. We have laws that are insane now. Everything's a crime against the state.
Almost it's everything in this too. Society is completely insane. I think that's the point, is you have to realize that you're the sane person in an insane world. You're the decent man in an indecent time.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I mean, the same. It's interesting dynamic, actually, when they're putting those double standards out in front of your face that you're bringing up there, Randy, because if you think now, where they are told by their parents not to do the things that their parents are actually doing. So everything that you see, you know, children doing, they're just really copying and trying to emulate what they're learning and what they're seeing. You know, they just want to. That's what they're taught. That's what they want to express. But the parents, on the other hand, are saying, well, no, you can't do it, but I can do it. And this is because I'm an adult, and of course I know what I'm doing, and you're young, and I'm sure a lot of parents mean well by it, but it's that same dynamic within the system where they will say, you can't do this, it's illegal. You can't grow cannabis in your backyard because that plant has been deemed illegal. Mm-hmm. But yeah. At the same time, all of our politicians are out at coke and prostitution parties, and you know that's all good to go. No, don't worry, and just keep going. You know, back to work, keep paying taxes and fines for all the laws that we've set in place for you. This also goes with religion as well, and this goes into politics. It goes into education, where there's a double standards that's there. A lot of these priests and a lot of these people at the heads of these religions, they don't get off the same plate that they're serving you. They teach you the surface level of this ancient knowledge that's been bastardized for thousands of years. And then for themselves, a lot of them follow their own religious ideas, which, you know, are very linked to Satanism and nihilism and all these different things. But on the surface level, they're that bright, shining light in the community, and they're out there serving the community and raising money for all these charities that are all owned by the royal establishment. And, you know, so there's a double face, there's a two-face system in place. And I don't think they're trying to hide that. I think that's a psychological attack. I think they put it right in front of your face because it creates that dynamic that is there in, say, an abusive relationship. Where how many people, I mean, you know, women, for example, they might be being physically abused by their husband, but for whatever reason, they stick to them like glue, and they'll fight to the end to stay with this person, even though they're in a situation of abuse. So there's a double standard that's there. Well, look at us. We're being abused like that by the system, blatantly. It's blatantly honest. And there's anybody listening that hasn't seen that yet, you really just got to look around. We don't need to sit from providence in front of you. Just look around you and see the double standard. And when you recognize that and realize that there's a psychological element there that they get you hooked into that, and you start accepting that, you know, well, that's prison. And then they can always get off on the whole, well, you were the one that voted me in. You were the one that gave me the money. You were the one that supported it and didn't do anything about it. So therefore, I have every right to go ahead and keep engaging in those activities. So I think that consciousness is really the only thing, expanding the awareness and seeing the lie for what it is. That's really the only hope we've got.
Well, and also everybody wants to follow this, follow that, be part of this, be part of that, rather than owning themselves. Okay, so what happens is people will believe that one paradigm is true, then find out that it's a lie, and then go to the other side of the paradigm, which is also a lie. So, for example, somebody who is part of a satanic cult, and I've seen videos like this online, somebody's part of a satanic cult, and they realize that it's really freaking evil, and that they really don't want to be a part of it. So they become a hardcore Christian Bible basher terrorist.
Yeah, they call it the extreme.
It's like, dude, you know, you go into one paradigm, and there's always another paradigm to catch you when you fall from it, okay?
Exactly.
When the reality is you're only supposed to fall halfway into realizing that the sides of every major argument that's ever been going on throughout your entire life are big freaking lies. Like what's happening right now in New Zealand is that people are getting really effed off with the alleged right-wing party, the national government, who's headed by former Federal Reserve banker, Mr. Prime Minister John Key, and they instead now going, you know what, this guy's been doing terrible stuff to the country, let's vote for Labour, the red team, with a guy who is educated at Harvard and lives in a really swanky suburb just like the current Prime Minister John Key. Okay, and you can see that the popularity kind of shifting between one false paradigm to another. Stop being suckers, for frack's sake. They're trying to kill you and enslave you. And here's another interesting thing. The American Medical Journal stated that it was doing a study of psychopaths, right? What does a psychopath look like? What do they act like? Well, they're normally very enchanting and smiling and personable when you first meet them, but they don't have any long-lasting relationships outside of some kind of a pretext, like a business position or something of that nature. Really? What industries are these people likely to cluster towards? Well, they desire power and control, so naturally they head into business, entertainment, politics, medicine, law, and religion. What would you say are some of the most influential and controlling aspects of society? Now, is it any wonder that society has gone completely insane? It's because the completely insane people in society are the ones running it. They're the ones that control your perception of reality. They're the ones that dictate your economy, who pick your leaders. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, and as a result of that, the so-called normal people, the people who are, I guess, being ruled over, are in a constant state of trauma. Because you look at the system, you look at who succeeds, and you see who does the handshake, wears the ties, drives the nice car, lives in the big house, and you go, gosh, there must be something wrong with me. I worked hard. I'm smart. I'm kicking in. And suddenly you realize that you kind of have this victim mentality, which then spins it in another direction. Now you're pissed off, and you're just as ineffective being pissed off, but at least you're a little bit more empowered. But the way I see people responding now is I'm watching people who are just in a blank state. They're almost now like they know it's horrible. They know it sucks. They know this thing is going down the tube fast. They see that everything's corrupt, and they're just numb.
It's like that song, Comfortably Numb, but
there's
nothing comfortable about it. And this is absolutely everything. If you read Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited, you'll realize that, you know, this was something that was in the pipeline for a long time, was to get people in exactly that state of mind, like a deer in the headlights. You're seeing the train coming, but you have zero. And the psychopaths that are there, there's one thing about the psychopathic mindset, and that is there's a certain ruthlessness, and they have a very, very deep discipline. And discipline in that sense is not in a moral sense. It's in a sense of being extremely committed to whatever goal they have, because they have an insatiable desire to be at the top of the pile, no matter what, be at the bottom, because that's exactly where they're wanted to be. Because those are the people that really do have the real power, but we're at the disadvantage of maybe having some empathy and some compassion. And so you don't want to go out there and stomp on somebody's fingers in order to get to the top. You don't want to go out there and somebody's throat. You don't want to go out there and you know, embezzle money and do all of those things. You're not capable of doing it. So therefore you'll work the, you know, blue collar jobs, or you'll be the one out of business. You'll be the one struggling for money. And those guys willing to go out there and do that and sell their souls, literally, they're going to be the ones that rise to the top. And, you know, Vinny said it right. That's exactly the situation that we're in.
Yeah. People don't get the analogy. All right, you have a look at a stagnant pond. Where does the scum accumulate? It accumulates at the top. Well, what happens when you've got scum accumulated at the top to the point where it covers all, the entire pond? Well, it means that everything beneath the waterline, everything that was once alive, everything that once received the light of the sun and all the nutrients and so on and so forth that it provides, everything dies. Everything. Unless we remove the scum from the top of this pond of humanity, everything will die.
I love that. That's good.
Randy, we should be taking a break right about that.
We definitely should. We're going to do that. We're going to disconnect lines because I know it's been skipping out a lot, so Skype's been problematic. Yeah, let's do that now. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. We will talk more about the subjects related to empowerment, not just of men, but of women, of human beings around the planet, and how we need to get our shit together so that we can throw off this monstrous psychopathic system. We'll do that. We'll take it all on. Second hour off Planet Radio Live. We'll be back in 7 or 8 minutes.
there are things that I do not. Various possible futures are happening simultaneously. I can tell you all of them, but I cannot tell you which one of them will come to pass, because every action causes ripples. Consequences both obvious and unforeseen.